Captain's log, stardate 41249.3. We have orbited the two major planets of the Beta Renner system, taking aboard delegates from those two worlds. Since achieving spaceflight, their major life forms, the Antikans and the Cellae, have become deadly enemies, but both have also applied for admission into our Federation. We are to deliver these delegates to this sector's neutral conference planet, called Parliament, in the hope their dispute can be resolved.
Five tall reptilian humanoids materialize in the transport bay.
I'm Captain Picard. Welcome aboard. We hope your journey will be pleasant and comfortable. Arranging that will be my first officer, Commander Riker.
Welcome aboard. If you'll follow me, I will show you the accommodations that we've...
We can already smell the Antikans. They were taken aboard first.
Only because their world was first on this heading to Parliament.
Will our quarters be near the Antikans?
About 100 meters apart.
Is that all right?
No. Unsatisfactory.
I believe we can accommodate your wishes. We'll rearrange the suite assignments. If you'll follow me.
And we must be upwind from the Antikans.
Of course, sir.
Commander Riker leads the Cellae delegates away. Picard and Lieutenant Yar watch their snake-like hooded faces as they leave. As the doors close behind the last shuffling alien, an amused smile breaks over Lieutenant Yar's face.
Neither seem like very promising Federation candidates, sir.
Even Parliament's peacemakers may find this case a little difficult.
Returning to the bridge, Captain Picard and Commander Riker have changed from their formal dress to standard-issue uniforms, and the Enterprise accelerates away from the Cellae homeworld.
But do you understand the basis of all this nonsense between them?
No, sir. I never understood that sort of hostility even when I studied Earth history.
Really? No, yes. Well, these life forms feel such passionate hatreds over matters of custom, God concepts, even, strangely enough, economic systems.
Sir, my sensors are picking up an unusual energy object ahead.
On screen.
A huge, billowing, swirling cloud of shady blue light appears on the screen.
Confirmed, sir. My sensors read nothing solid, but considerable energy and changing patterns.
Also traveling at warp speed, sir. Intriguing. I can find no match with anything in our records, sir.
Change course to make a close sensor pass. We can then increase warp speed and reach Parliament on schedule.
Aye, sir.
Lieutenant Geordi LaForge and Lieutenant Worf study sensor readings on banks of wall-mounted consoles in engineering.
So, Worf, why the interest in this? It's just routine maintenance on the sensor assemblies.
Simple, Geordi. Our captain wants his junior officers to learn.
Not just his junior ones. Okay, you hold this relay offline while I adjust these sensor circuits.
Security to sensor maintenance.
Lieutenant LaForge here.
We're making a close sensor pass on an unusual object, Geordi. Any problems?
Not at all, Lieutenant. All equipment online and functioning.
Sensors ready, sir.
Life form reading.
No life form reading, sir.
Begin the pass.
The Enterprise's huge flat spherical bow turns towards the cloud.
Sir, it is changing shape.
Any readings of matter there?
Negative, sir. Energy only.
Continuing its pass, the Enterprise is engulfed by the billowing mass of energy. Checking the sensor relays, Worf is suddenly aware of a change and crosses to another console to check. Running a diagnostic scan, a look of mild confusion crosses his face, and he tries another test. Suddenly, blue arcs of electric energy leap up his arm, covering him and flinging him backwards across the room. Geordi rushes to his unconscious friend. Turning him onto his back, he checks his pulse.
The Forge is sick, babe. We have a medical emergency and sensor maintenance. I repeat, this is a medical emergency.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Lonely Among Us, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise speeds through our own solar system, leaving the Earth far behind as it passes Jupiter and Saturn, heading into the unknown.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Denise Crosby as Lieutenant Tasha Yar, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data, and Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher, with music by Ron Jones and theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Dr. Crusher and an assistant rush to Worf's aid.
What happened?
I don't know. We got hit by some sensor feedback, maybe.
Suddenly, Worf attacks the assistant and Geordi pulls the man to safety.
You got it done!
I got it.
The hypo spray immediately sedates him and Worf slumps down. The doctor carefully revives him.
Lieutenant Worf, can you hear what I'm saying? Let's get him up.
Okay. Come on, big guy. On your feet. Here we go. That's it.
Holding Worf, the doctor looks over at her injured assistant as he slowly gets up.
Are you okay?
He was just monitoring the sensor console when he jerked, as though something hit him. What my sensors showed was a glow. Just for a second, I can't explain it.
Could your visor device have malfunctioned?
I doubt it, sir. Seemed like what I was seeing was something real.
Lieutenant Yar stands nervously in the Antican delegate's quarters while a white-whiskered, dome-headed Antican paces the floor. Ridges extend up his bald head and flatten to an extended skull.
Sorry to call you, sir. Not strictly security. It's about the dietary requirements of the Antican delegates.
I thought that had been taken care of in advance.
So did we, sir. Their live animals were beamed aboard. We were going to preserve the meat for them, but they say we must bring it to them alive.
Then do so. Lieutenant Yar was confused. We no longer enslave animals for food purposes.
But we have seen humans eat meat.
You've seen something as fresh and tasty as meat, but inorganically materialized out of patterns used by our transporters.
Dr. Crusher scans Worf's prone body in the infirmary. Suddenly, blue light arcs up her arm, engulfing her. It disappears into her body, and the doctor leans heavily on the sensor array over Worf's body. Counselor Troi enters and checks the monitors.
He's reading normal now. How did you manage that?
Yes, normal.
Are you all right?
Yes, perfectly. Both of us quite normal now.
Worf's eyelids flicker and he is suddenly awake.
Where am I?
Don't you remember? You were in the sensor maintenance room.
I remember monitoring the sensor console. What am I doing here?
That's the story the doctor will tell you.
Dr. Crusher looks at Troi and walks arrogantly away. Troi turns back to Worf in confusion. As the Enterprise flies out of the cloud, Picard joins Data at a console on the bridge.
Obviously, you seem to feel it's something we should look at more carefully.
A mystery is only a mystery, as long as it remains uninvestigated, sir.
I love a mystery, Data. But this one we'll have to wait until we've delivered the delegates to their peace conference on Parliament.
Time and tide, Lieutenant LaForge. Go to Warp 8.
Warp 8, sir.
Hi, Mom.
You're back early.
Yes.
Staring intently at Wesley, she sits opposite him and turns his computer screen so that she can see it. He watches her, bemused by her interest.
Physical sciences class. We're studying Dr. Channing's theory on dilithium crystals.
Tell me about it.
Really? You never seen that interested in warp theory before. Dr. Channing thinks it's possible to force dilithium into even more useful crystals. If, as shown here, matter and antimatter could be aligned even more efficiently.
Would that affect navigation?
This is engineering, not helm control.
Oh, yes. The helm's located on the bridge.
Mom? Something wrong?
Wesley watches the doors close behind her and he returns to his studies. On the bridge, the turbo lift door opens and Dr. Crusher nervously enters. Looking uncertainly around, she crosses to Geordi's operations console.
This is the helm.
Unless there have been some changes I don't know about.
Dr. Crusher.
Picard walks down the semicircular slope from the back of the bridge.
You will wish to know Lieutenant Worf is much improved, ready to return to duty.
What was the diagnosis?
A temporary mental aberration.
Doctor, when such a diagnosis concerns a bridge officer, I expect a better explanation.
Then I will have to first run some cross-checks on the library computer. Klingons are so unusual in their reactions, aren't they?
Use Science Station 2, Doctor.
He points to another console and she crosses to it, rubbing her hands nervously. The captain watches her, his eyes clouded with confusion. But as she takes her place beside Lieutenant Commander Data, he shakes his head and turns away. Data watches her closely.
Intriguing, Doctor. What does helm control have to do with medical cross-checks?
She stares at the console and Data raises his eyebrows, bemused, and looks away. Suddenly, blue light floods from her arms into the computer.
Why am I?
Is something wrong, Doctor?
Doctor, are you all right?
Yes. Yes. I'll do my work in my office. That's where I should be.
Do you want someone to accompany you?
She shakes her head and enters the turbo lift, leaving the captain with more unanswered questions.
Captain, there is a malfunction in this station. I cannot bring any information up on it.
Science 2 does not function either, sir.
Engineering to Captain Picard. We have something wrong with warp drive circuitry, sir.
Transporter room 6 to bridge. Reporting transporter console malfunction, sir.
Data, this ship is less than a year out of space dock. What are the chances of this occurring?
It is a virtual impossibility, sir.
So what the hell is going on here?
As the Enterprise continues at warp speed towards the planet Parliament, Captain Picard calls an emergency briefing. The sensor engineering crew sit around a table in the captain's briefing room watching Picard. He turns to one of his engineering staff, concern etched on his face.
And you're telling me that there are no explanations for these malfunctions?
At least, sir, all the department heads have reported the damage repaired.
That was not my question, number one. What caused the malfunctions?
I believe it was a rampant electronic short that jumped from system to system, sir. But the only thing is,
Yes, Mr. Singh.
That shouldn't be possible. The affected systems don't generally interact with each other. Where they do, it wasn't an interlink that was malfunctioning.
Have you spoken with Chief Engineer Argyle about this problem?
With all the engineering staff, sir. They're just as puzzled.
Well, I'm not satisfied. I want an explanation of this by the time we reach Parliament.
But, sir...
By the time we reach Parliament, Mr. Singh.
These weapons were taken from two of your people who were loitering out of sight in the vicinity of the Sele delegation's quarters. Do you care to explain, sir?
These are not weapons, First Officer. They are tools. We use these to dispatch the animals we consume.
Your food supply is not on the same deck as the Sele delegation, sir.
And you have to admit that these could kill.
I admit some of my people are impulsive. And we all have reason to hate the Sele.
They appear to have the same feelings about you, sir.
The nature of politics.
Nevertheless, Chief Delegate, you are on notice that all of your weapons, no matter what their basic function, are being confiscated. Violence will not be tolerated on the Enterprise.
No, of course not. And if any does occur, let me assure you, it will not be we Antikins who start it.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, warp power is fading.
Picard to engineering. What is the problem?
We've lost the warp engine computer type.
Warp 5, 4, 3, 2.
State-of-the-art vessel. Data, signal Parliament will be delayed. We'll set a new arrival time as soon as it is determined.
Sir. Subspace radio is out.
With growing concern, Captain Picard's face clouds with anxious thought and he calls Data and Riker to his ready room next to the bridge.
All right, gentlemen. Your theories on this sudden vulnerability in our systems.
If the Enterprise were really this fragile, sir, she never would have left space dock. Therefore, her system's failures are not endemic to the ship, but are the result of the actions of an unknown adversary.
We have a saboteur aboard.
I believe I said that.
Gentlemen, the question is, who? I can't believe it's one of our own people.
Agreed. It must be someone from either alien delegation. Now, if the Ferengi could have bought or bribed even one of them, that's all they'd need.
Ferengi contacts have been detected on both Soleil and Antica, sir.
Can either of you suggest any other suspects?
You're sounding like a private eye, sir.
Inquiry. Private eye?
A private consulting investigator, Data, who solves crimes.
Most interesting occupation.
In the world of fact, probably not. However, in literature, criminal detection could be a fascinating exercise. The immortal Sherlock Holmes would have an interesting view of our mystery, I believe.
But I'm afraid we're going to have to find our solution without history's greatest consulting detective.
Data's eyes widen with interest and he is about to speak but stops himself. He remains intrigued. In engineering, Wesley sits at the warp engine control panel.
How about here, Mr. Singh?
The engineer quickly crosses to Wesley, who stands to let him see.
If the control network breaks off at this point,
it bleeds warp engine commands off into dead ends.
Excellent. Well, I believe I can handle it from here, Mr. Krishan.
But, sir...
You are scheduled for classwork now. Sorry.
Yes, sir. But I don't learn nearly this much in school.
Well, I tend to agree. But the captain's orders on this are very clear.
Mr. Singh smiles knowingly and returns to his diagnostic testing of Wesley's computer model. Wesley collects his data pads and walks sadly out of engineering, watching Mr. Singh through a glass wall before returning to his quarters, where his mother is sitting reading a book by a large window.
Hi. Solve any new problems today?
I was starting to, maybe. Mr. Singh sent me off to class.
Wes, you're only an acting ensign. You've got to let the commissioned officers do some of the work.
Mom, I've learned a lot more than they understand. For example, with Channing's dilithium crystals theory I was telling you about.
When were you telling me about that?
This morning, don't you remember?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Alone in engineering, Mr. Singh crosses back to his main control panel and checks his findings. An air of boredom and frustration rests on his shoulders as he continues to search for answers to the ship's malfunctions. He leans on the console, lost in thought. Electric blue light suddenly leaps up at him. He is flung away and spins to the floor. Lieutenant Worf descends to engineering, jumping from the turbolift and rushing to the engineer's prone body. Gently turning him over, Worf checks his pulse. Slowly realization dawns on him, and he taps his communications badge.
Engineering to Captain Picard. Security alert.
Picard?
Lieutenant Worf, sir. I just found Mr. Singh. He's dead.
Captain's log, stardate 41249.4. I've ordered an immediate investigation into the death of Assistant Chief Engineer Singh. We continue to run on impulse power.
He could have been working there restoring warp power.
Well, according to these readings, we could go back to warp speed now.
Those aren't the same readings as when I left.
Singh probably repaired it just before he was killed.
He couldn't have repaired it, sir. The problems were inside the engines.
Who else could have corrected it, Wes? Inform the bridge of engine status.
Engineering to bridge. We now have warp capacity, sir. All power online.
Well done. Warp engines ready on previous heading. Warp factor 6.
I tolerate these questions, Lieutenant Yar, because I need this vessel to get us to Parliament. Your shipboard problems do not concern me.
They should. Our delays are your delays.
The peace conference will wait for us.
I must ask where you were during this vessel's Earth hours of 1800 last night and 0700 this morning.
18?
Sir, we're talking about hours here.
It was a large meal, Lieutenant Yar, and a very interesting animal.
Yar's mouth opens in disgust and she quickly leaves. Worf enters the infirmary.
You wanted me, Doctor?
Yes, concerning your memory blockout.
I still don't remember having one.
The same thing happened to me. I want to try hypnosis on both of you. It may restore your memory as to what happened.
One thing is clear. Almost all of the peace delegates answered our questions with lies.
Imprecise, Lieutenant. They omitted certain truths, which in itself tells us something.
We can learn something from non-disclosure?
Indubitably, my good woman.
Data clamps a curved pipe between his teeth.
Something the captain mentioned. Sherlock Holmes. Indubitably, Data has been studying him.
Has studied, sir. Every case. As Holmes would have pointed out, during the time in question, something was afoot.
Afoot?
While both sets of delegates say they were in their quarters, our crew locator sensed them passing here and here.
He swings the screen towards them and then back, confidently puffing on his pipe.
But since it doesn't show where they went, we're still in the dark.
On the contrary, my dear colleague. On their return, they drew medical supplies appropriate to the treatment of minor wounds and abrasions on these life forms.
Which leaves us with only one conclusion.
Exactly. That they were too engaged in their own affairs to have disabled the ship and murdered the engineer. Given the choice, they would rather kill each other than any of us. It's elementary, my dear Riker. Sir.
Worf watches as Troy hypnotizes Dr. Crusher.
Beverly, can you hear me? I want you to go back in your mind to the moment when you first recall this sensation of memory loss. Picture it exactly as it occurred. He's lying on the hospital bed, sedated. I'm walking up to him. How do you feel at this moment as you lean over him to take the specimen?
I feel someone else. There's someone else who's there. Not alone. Get out of my mind.
Troy holds up her hand, fingers pointing towards the doctor, and she calms down. Troy turns to Worf.
That's almost exactly what you said. As though there was something else inside you.
Which confirms the feeling of duality that I sensed earlier in both of them.
Why didn't you report it?
Because, sir, I assumed at first it was the kind of duality that we Beta Zeds feel in all of you. Even you, sir. When you approach a decision and ask yourself which direction to go, who are you talking to?
Your hypnotism revealed another form of duality.
Yes, sir. I believe something invaded them.
It seems the only possible conclusion.
Data. Let's proceed without the pipe.
Yes, sir. If you wish, sir. But I ask if you take it as incontrovertible that it cannot be a family member or one of the crew.
Yes, very unlikely.
Then our investigation was worthwhile, sir. We've eliminated both the delegates and the ship's regular complement.
Data, what are you suggesting?
He reaches for the pipe but stops himself.
I am referring to the great detective's credo, sir. I quote, "We must fall back on the old axiom that when other contingencies fail, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth."
Barely able to conceal their amusement, Yara and Riker look at the captain, who returns their gaze with astonished incomprehension. Suddenly, Data stares at a console, examining it through a magnifying glass.
That engine computer net wasn't repaired, sir. It just suddenly became all right.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's the result that counts, you know?
What the...
Oh, no.
What is it?
Helm control just went down. She won't respond.
Bridge to captain. You're needed here immediately.
Wes, alert engineering from your panel, all right? I'm trying.
Report.
Helm is down, sir. There's no apparent reason.
Captain, we've just dropped to impulse power.
Picard leans on Geordi's console and blue light seeps up his arm. Confusion turns to calm on Picard's face and Geordi stares at him anxiously.
Sir, are you all right? I thought I just saw...
I'm fine.
Slowly, the captain walks to his command chair and turns back to the viewing screen.
Everything is fine now. Why the drop to impulse power, Lieutenant?
The helm is suddenly malfunctioning, sir.
Malfunctioning? You're wrong. Look again.
Captain, I was just...
Mr. LaForge?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it now, sir. Everything is just as it should be.
In that case, make our heading. 925, Mark 3. 7.
Sir?
You have a problem with that heading, Lieutenant?
You want to double back on our course, sir?
Isn't that what I ordered?
Yes, sir.
Geordi enters the new heading and the Enterprise begins to turn, gathering speed as the starship comes about, the engines glow and the Enterprise lunges back the way it had come.
Sir, I'm puzzled by you reversing our course.
That energy cloud, Commander. I believe it important we have another look at it.
But we're behind schedule for Parliament already.
I believe a very important scientific discovery awaits us on this heading.
Perhaps you'd like to share your reasoning on that, sir.
Yes, since we obtained only minimal information on our sensor pass of it.
Right, Data. We must go back to learn more. Counselor, do you believe a ship captain should explain every order?
Of course not, sir.
A Starfleet crewman follows one of the Antican delegates along a corridor, obviously flustered.
I demand to see the captain!
Stop! Return to your quarters!
What is that doing on our deck?
I demand to know why this starship has changed its course.
Please return to your quarters, delegates.
A mere change of direction hardly justifies mutiny.
Exactly what do you believe you're sensing from him? It's just the feeling that, well, that he's closed part of his mind to me. I just feel that the captain has become perhaps dangerous.
If he's dangerous.
If. Then he'd have to be relieved of command. Which you could do, Doctor, but it's beaucoup trouble if you're wrong.
And at the moment, it is all pure speculation. He has done nothing to subject the Enterprise to danger.
I'd need a medical log citing clear evidence of incapacity. You could do it without that problem.
Only if all command officers agreed it was vital to do so. But he has not been showing any overt, unusual behavior.
Ultimately, I believe he will. As second in command, it's still in your corner. I'll order medical and psychiatric exams. You'll have to back me up somehow.
First officer's log, supplemental. After meeting with the senior officers, Dr. Crusher and I have decided to approach the captain regarding his recent behavior.
The captain leans against a window, his back to the door, as Dr. Crusher and Riker enter.
Yes.
I'd like you to come to sick bay for some examinations, Captain.
Oh. I'd be glad to when I'm free.
I'd like to conduct them now, sir.
Why? What can I do for you, number one?
Sir, Counselor Troy has recommended the examinations.
Same question. Why?
It is my duty to inform the captain. We believe he may be under some kind of alien influence which may constitute a danger to this ship.
I consider it equally possible that the two of you and Counselor Troy are overworked and possibly suffering hallucinations. Now, this is an order. You will arrange medical and psychiatric exams both for yourself and them. Doctor, are you aware everyone is behaving strangely?
I'm concerned that you've suddenly turned the ship away from its course.
What's happened to your mind, Doctor?
The search for knowledge is always our primary mission.
I'm sorry, I really am too busy for this kind of nonsense.
Do I have to call security to force you to report to the sick bay?
No, sir.
They turn dejectedly and exit. As the door closes on the captain's ready room, Picard stands up from his desk and stares out at the stars stretching away behind the ship receding into the distance. Riker strides purposefully along a corridor. Suddenly, a fluorescent noose drops over his head from a doorway and Selly delegates surround him.
What the hell?
Sorry, wrong species.
Regular security chief.
You are here.
Security guard to the engineering deck. The Sellies are playing hide-and-seek down here, obviously with the Anakins. It's a lethal game. I want them returned to their quarters under guard.
Right away, sir.
In his ready room, Captain Picard stares at a computer screen.
Come.
Dr. Crusher enters, nervously rubbing her hands, trying to force a smile.
What do you want?
Here are the results from the exams you ordered, sir.
She hands him a data disk, which he drops onto the desk, ignoring her. Cautiously, she walks round the desk and stands at his right shoulder.
You don't care to inspect them? Please, are you Jean-Luc?
He is here.
The Jean-Luc I know.
And more.
The more frightens me.
And elates us. We wish you could understand the glorious adventure ahead.
You and...
Soon we'll both be home.
First officer's log, supplemental. On the orders of Captain Picard, we have returned to the vicinity of the energy pattern cloud. I am personally convinced that something from this cloud now shares the captain's mind. But there seems to be nothing we can do, at least within regulations.
We're now approaching the cloud, sir.
Very well, Mr. LaForge. Bring us to within 10,000 kilometers and hold us there.
Aye, sir.
Captain Picard steps out of his ready room and enters the bridge. Riker slowly rises to his feet, facing the captain.
Shall we begin the scientific test you wanted, sir?
Oh, they're already underway.
With a contented smile, the captain walks to the huge viewing screen and stares at the vast expanse of the energy pattern cloud.
I have an announcement for the entire bridge. As many of you suspected, when our ship passed through the edge of this, it accidentally carried away a sentient being, much like these energy patterns we're seeing here. Terrifying experience for any intelligent being. As if a great claw had reached down and scooped one of you from your home world. Drawn into the energy circuits of this vessel, it found its way to you, Worf. Frantic at being taken from its home world. And recognizing you were sentient beings, it pleaded for help, but in ways you couldn't understand. Desperately going from person to person, and then discovering the computer intelligence in this ship's memory circuits. Oh, simplistic intelligence. But it furnished it enough to slow this Enterprise thing that had captured it. And it very much regrets the accidental death of Engineer Singh.
Captain, do you exist in combination with this entity?
Is it in control of you, sir?
Very soon after we had combined, we had learned much about each other. Passion for exploration, for the unknown. We found we had similar dreams, and it offered your captain a way to realize them beyond human expectations.
Captain, I must speak to you privately now.
I understand. As an energy pattern, free of the limitations of matter, he might travel anywhere, at any velocity.
Captain, do you hear me?
Sir, I see no way for you to journey with an energy form.
Isn't there?
He's planning to beam himself and the entity into that cloud.
The transporter need not pattern your captain into matter. We'll beam energy only, and we will become a combined energy pattern of our life forms. A resignation from this command and from Starfleet has been appropriately recorded.
I refuse to allow this, sir.
How does this resignation threaten the ship or its crew in any way?
Captain Picard, you are now relieved of duty. I judge you to be disabled and mentally incapacitated.
Intense arcs of blue energy spread from his arms into the consoles.
Security! Red alert! Restrain the captain!
Where is he? This is blinding me!
Captain!
Held by energy streams, they are powerless to stop Picard as he exits the bridge. He rides the turbo lift to the transporter room. Entering, he stops and looks down at the transporter operator lying on the floor with arcs of blue light flickering across his body. As the captain activates the transport console, the blue lights disappear, but the crewman can only watch in stunned paralysis as Picard steps onto the transport platform. A circle of light shines beneath him as the transporter powers up and he disappears in a shimmering stream of light.
First officer's log, supplemental. More than an hour has passed since the captain beamed out, energy only. Every effort has been made to determine his whereabouts.
The transporter chief has no idea what the coordinates were, sir.
So he's just floating around out there? How can we settle for that?
Give me a choice, then.
Still no readings, no sign of anything.
Geordi and Data continue to scan the energy cloud, concentrating on their consoles as Commander Riker stares at the viewing screen. Confusion and anger flicker in his eyes.
Mr. LaForge,
Time to set a course for Parliament. Warp 8.
We're really leaving him.
Commander? Wait! It's the captain. But only the captain. He's out there alone.
The entity? Has it abandoned him?
No. But the combination wasn't possible out there. He's in trouble, sir. We have to beam him back.
Beam him back as what? He's nothing but energy now.
Sir, the entity was caught in the ship's circuitry. The captain might try to get in the same way if he's in trouble.
Bring us in closer, LaForge.
Moving in, sir, but where?
There's no way to know. Let's hope he can come partway himself. Troy, is there any way you can get a message to him?
I wish I could.
Sensors monitoring the perimeter, ship's circuitry, sir. Nothing.
Bring us right into the edge of it, LaForge.
Aye, sir.
Sir, on my sensor controls.
There's something here. I feel it.
Just as before, going to warp first.
Something crazy on my panel. Commander Riker. Static?
Blue light forms the letter P.
P for Picard?
He's in the ship's circuitry. Come to the transporter room, please.
There might be a way, sir. Hurry!
The Enterprise pushes deeper into the cloud as Data leads Riker and Troy to the transporter. Relieving the crewman, Data immediately starts working on the main console.
This is a wild theory, Data.
I knew we had to have the captain's physical pattern here, sir. He was the last one to beam out.
Is what you're thinking possible?
Unknown at this time, sir. I hope the captain remembers his physical pattern is here. If he has, his energy has moved into the transporter relays by now.
I wish we had some sign that he was in here. I guess we have no choice but to risk it.
Energizing, sir.
Beneath one of the six transport beams set above a flat reflective platform, a light glows in a circle on the floor. Within the beam, a shimmering mass of pinpricks of light suddenly forms. They turn to each other in hope and surprise as a faint figure starts to form and then disappears, only to reappear, but stronger this time. Slowly, the form of Captain Picard begins to fill out, becoming denser and more material. As the transport sequence completes, the captain stares around in astonishment.
What the devil am I doing here?
Sounds like our captain.
But confused. This Picard pattern was formed before he went out there.
What's happening to me, number one? I was preparing to beam out to somewhere. And I remember there was talk of an entity, but it all seems so vague.
I believe the captain is now his separate self, sir. Much of what happened is naturally missing.
What are you talking about, Data? Is this still Sherlock Holmes?
Indubitably, sir. Indubitably.
Well, at least you got rid of the damn pipe.
Dr. Crusher has asked me to steer you past sick bay. She said you've been looking very tired.
Captain.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Sorry, Commander, but Security Team 2 reports they've discovered a puddle of blood outside the cell headquarters, and they can't find one of the delegates, and
Lieutenant,
so...
Lieutenant, this couldn't have waited a moment.
It's good to see you, sir. The problem is that one of the cooks has just been asked to borrow a reptile for the Antikins, and it looks like the cell delegate.
Riker, what with the peace delegates and all the... I think I do need a rest. Take charge, number one.
Riker stands as if paralyzed as Picard strides away. Yar looks up at the commander expectantly, and Riker turns to Troy, anxious and surprised. The end.